you should say this morning, you are awesome in this place. Amen. Mighty God, amen. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together on this resurrection morning. We would like to read from Daniel, the 10th chapter, verses 10 through 13, and then we're going to read, we'll skip down to verses 19 and 20. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Daniel chapter 10, excuse me, in the 10th verse. Daniel says, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Wouldn't that be enough?
Yes.
Not, I mean, just the hand, right? And then greatly beloved. Understand the words that I speak unto thee. I'm going to speak to you, but I want you to understand these words. And stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. For unto thee I am now sent. Stand upright. Get in position. I'm sent to you. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart, notice, not mind, not imagination, not reasoning, that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. We'll skip down to the 19th verse just for the sake of time. And said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Friends, this is a man under the blood of bulls and goats. How about a redeemed son or daughter of God this morning? Then said he, knowest thou wherefore or why I come unto thee? And now I will return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. The Lord adds blessing to the reading of the word, how we'd like to be remembered in prayer this morning. Father, as we make our requests known with our uplifted hands this morning, Father, we are a grateful people, we're a happy people, we're a joyful people, we're a peaceful people, though we're in the midst of a great battle. And Father, we find rest in troubled times, and what a great paradox, but there's no better way to prove that we have this peace that passes all understanding than for you to allow us to go through times of trouble and yet show that there's a peace that passes all understanding in the midst of our trials. Father, as we stand before you this morning, we're completely dependent upon you as always, and we're looking to you, the author and finisher of our faith, and we ask, Lord, that you'd speak to us as Daniel sought you, Lord, with he chastened himself and he set himself before you, and he sought your leadership, your direction. He had certain needs that he made known to you. Lord, we come once again as a needy people. We make our needs known to you, Lord, with our uplifted hands and hearts, and we ask that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would minister to our needs, that you would move on our behalf, Lord, for your kingdom this morning. And Father, we will give you the praise and honor and glory ahead of time because we're confident that you will do this, but we also know that we're instructed to make our requests known in this dimension, so that what is done in heaven will be done here on the earth. Bless each and every one. Strengthen each and every one. Those that are listening in, Lord, we ask that you would be with them. And those that are on travel, once again, that you would prosper their trips and bring them back safely amongst us. And those that are here this morning, Lord, we just give you the praise and honor and glory. And Father, we love you, and we're thankful to be who we are and to be the called according to your will. Bless each and every one now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. I want to title the thought here this morning, Kingdoms at War. Kingdoms at War. Now, the world would get nervous when we would make a statement like this, because the world would think, okay, well, there's a kingdom that's at war, there's a kingdom that's being threatened, but we just want to know, we want the kingdoms of this world to know that we're no threat to them this morning, and we're not even interested in discussing politics and the things that the kingdoms of this fleshly world are about, because we know God is completely in control. We know that God has set things in motion. Whoever's in a position, they could only be in that position because God put them there. And they can only do what God has ordained for them to do. Do we have that confidence this morning? So we're not talking about physical kingdoms per se here this morning, but we're talking about spiritual kingdoms that are at war, that are clashing. So in our story this morning, in the book of Daniel, there was a change in dispensations that was fixing to take place. And so we are given a look at what was taking place in the spiritual realm before the change took place in the physical realm. And since we are dealing here with things taking place in a spiritual realm, let's take a look at some of the things that we were told in our day about the spiritual realm. In questions and answers on Hebrews, Brother Brown says, now, let's take back to Cain. If Cain was the son of Adam, which was a son of God, well, where did that evil come from? The first thing, when he was born, he hated. He was a murderer. He was jealous. And now, take the nature of his daddy. The very start in the beginning, Lucifer, he was. In the beginning, he was jealous of Michael, what started the whole trouble. How many knows that? And Cain was the nature of his father, which he was jealous of his brother and slew him. That nature could not come out of that pure seed. In other words, it couldn't come out of Adam. That nature could not come out of that pure seed. It had to come out of a perverted stream. And notice Cain, as soon as he was born, and then Abel was born after him, then she conceived by Adam, and he knew her, and she brought forth the son Abel. And Abel was the type of Christ. And when Abel was killed, Seth took his place, death, burial, and resurrection of Christ in type. So we know that Lucifer, Satan, or Lucifer was jealous of Michael. There was a heavenly kingdom that was under the dominion of Michael, and that included other archangels, notable angels, and lesser angels, and seraphims and cherubims and so on and so forth. And we are taught that there is a hierarchy in the kingdom of heaven, just as, friends, whatever is taking place here on the earth is a reflection. There's nothing new under the sun. So whatever is taking place here on the earth is a reflection of what's taking place in these spiritual kingdoms. And we know that there's a hierarchy to things here in the natural. Well, so is there in the spiritual. And we are taught that there's a hierarchy in the kingdom of heaven, just as there is in earthly kingdoms. And the heavenly kingdom, we understand, before the beginning, before man was created, before the universe was created, the heavenly kingdom suffered a split. And a war took place as a result of this division or split that took place in heavenly places. And friends, whenever there is a war, there are certain conditions that must first exist in order for the war to be declared. In other words, people don't just get up one day and go to war. There are conditions that must come into being first before a war is declared. And in the case of this war that we're speaking about this morning that started in heaven, the conditions that caused this war were, number one, Satan being filled with pride. He was perfect in all of his ways until one day he was lifted up in pride. And Satan's jealousy of Michael and of Michael's position in heaven. So these two conditions alone caused a war to be waged. So Satan was jealous first of Spirit God, who sits on the throne, and then of the being Michael, who was God's agent among heavenly beings. Now, recognizing that God is condescending, he's creating himself into his own creation. He created a body for himself, and so it's the same God, but now condescending. And so we see the very same thing repeating here on the earth when we find Cain being jealous of Abel, as Brother Branham said, which resulted in Cain taking Abel's life. So Cain ended up taking the first mark that we read about when God marked him because of what he did to his brother. Notice the elect of God, a seal is placed upon them, but Satan's children, a mark is placed upon them. And it's interesting, friends, that that God is the one that chose to mark Cain. Cain didn't mark himself and nobody else marked him. God marked him. And then we find Paul instructing the New Testament church to do the very same thing when facing that very same kind of a spirit. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them."
Right.
Don't hang out with them.
Right.
Don't say, "Well, I'm just going to show, you know, I'm better than everybody else and I got brotherly." No, don't have fellowship with them.
Right.
Avoid them, for they are such that serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. They do serve somebody, but they serve their own belly, he says. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And so that's why we don't, that's why we mark them. So that they don't harm the simple ones amongst us, and the church says. So we see here that Satan, known as Lucifer, he wasn't just jealous of Spirit God, but he was jealous also of his agent, the Archangel Michael, if you will. Brother Brown said in the message, "Let Your Light So Shine Before Men," he said, "And did you know the devil lives in class? Do you know what caused the first battle in heaven was when Lucifer set up a greater class of people? He elevated himself in his own thinking, in his own, elevated his own position even. He got a better class of angels, he thought, a big, better kingdom, a more brighter, shinier kingdom than Michael had, and he was kicked out of heaven." Friends, this is God's approach to it. This is God's attitude. God don't put up with it. He says, "You're not going to live by the rules. Go, you know, go live in your own house, right? But you're not going to live in my house and make your own rules." So keep in mind that Lucifer had to have a motive for declaring a war, and he has to have an agenda that he's going to try to carry out. And his agenda, by definition, is going to be different from God's agenda. God, this is good, but... No, it's good.
Hallelujah.
End of story.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't just jealous of great Spirit God who sat upon the throne, if you will, but he was jealous of the first expression of God that was in the form of Michael, which is Christ.
Amen.
Michael is not the man Jesus. Jesus was created just as you and I, but Michael is Christ. Okay, it's real quiet, but he says, see where class comes from? Stay away from class, Brother Branham says, and let your light so shine before men. Stay away from class. The hungry don't want class. Well, what do they want? The hungry wants food. The hungry, if somebody's hungry, you don't care how they're dressed. If somebody's hungry, they don't care what the church looks like. If somebody's hungry, they come for one purpose and one purpose only. They come to be fed. So notice that fighting takes place between Lucifer and Michael and between the lesser beings that are in heaven. So notice there is a hierarchy. There's greater beings, there's lesser beings. And the first battle started in church. Lucifer pulled some of these lesser angels over to support his cause, and they then became known as his angels. In other words, they weren't his angels when they were created, but they became his angels after they chose to follow him. And the rest of the angels, those that remained around the throne of God, became known as Michael's angels. In the greatest battle, Brother Branham said, this first great battle that was ever fought began in heaven when Michael and his angels fought against Lucifer and his angels. It first started, the first battle was in heaven. So sin did not originate on earth, it originated in heaven. And then it was thrown down from heaven, cast out of heaven to the earth, and fell on human beings. Then the battle from angels become human battles, and Satan come to destroy God's creation. What God had created to be for himself, he had, Satan, come to destroy this. That's what his purpose was to destroy it. Then the battle begin here on the earth and begin in us. And it's been raging ever since. How depressing. If that's all that was said on the matter, that would be depressing. Notice, it started out as an angelic battle, and then this sin that originated in heaven and this rebellion was cast down to the earth. But then Satan takes it a step further, and he continues to carry on this very same spiritual battle through God's earthly creation, through God, through human beings. And if you're born again of the seed incorruptible, of the seed of God, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost this morning, friends, you know that this battle is real. And you know that this battle is still taking place this morning. The battle's not over. It's raging even as we speak. And we know that it's being fought on a chosen battleground, and that chosen battleground is human flesh, specifically the human mind. It continues to be a spiritual battle this morning, but the battleground is in the flesh or the minds and bodies of man. One day, you recognize that God saved you. You didn't get saved, you recognize that he already saved you. And you accepted that. You repented of your sin. Your heart was turned. And then God gave you a new spirit that had new desires, not worldly desires, but desires for things that are of above and desires of things that are of another kingdom. And then, as Paul said, after that you believed, he killed that old nature in your soul and quickened that gene that had been in your soul all along and then filled you with his very own spirit. The spirit of promise. And your soul has already been redeemed. And the church says, it is the purchased of God, and there are no marks against it. Who can lay charge against God's elect? There are no marks against it. It's spotless, sinless. It never did it to begin with. Your soul has already been redeemed by God. And has come out from under the shadow of death that it was once under when it laid there dormant. And has been quickened by eternal life. And that life can never be taken from you. It is that soul now is part of the new creation. And a continuation of the new race. A new creature. And it is real to you. And it is the real you. And it is the new you. The one that you're now relating to and relating with. Old things concerning you have passed away. And you put them behind you. And you're pressing forward towards the mark. And all things now concerning you are new. It, being redeemed by God, is no longer under the curse of sin or under the dominion or the bondage of sin. It's no longer in a prison house without being able to operate free will, but it's now placed back on free moral agency once again. And yet, at the same time, friends, not one atom of your flesh has been changed or converted, I should say. Perhaps you've experienced divine healing or a miracle or whatever. There's some rearrangements of some molecules, I suppose, or atoms, but it's still the same body. It's not converted. It's not redeemed. Though the price has been paid to reclaim the elements that make up your flesh this morning, your flesh has not been redeemed. Though it will be. We have an earnest, a down payment, which is our evidence that the rest of it is, there is going to be redemption of our body one day soon. So if your flesh has been redeemed when you got saved, as some people would allude to, and if your flesh was, when you were quickened and you were filled with the Holy Ghost, well, then your flesh would not slow down in the least. If your flesh has been redeemed, it won't get tired. If your flesh has been redeemed, it won't suffer sickness. If your flesh has been redeemed, it cannot be tempted. You would never have an unclean thought pass through your conscience because your mind would be redeemed. You would no longer experience, in other words, the temptation of sin. But since you are a new creation and you are still living in the same old pest house, the battle is raging in your not yet converted flesh. But you have an earnest, a guarantee. And you know the battle is the Lord's and the victory is yours. And you know there's a body waiting for you. You know there's a change that's going to come just as there's a change that's already taking place. You have passed, you have passed already from death unto life. Now I'm building on something here this morning, so just bear with me for a few more minutes. In Take on the Whole Armor of God, Brother Branham said, so when God, the first battle that was ever fought, was not fought on the earth, it was fought in heaven, Michael and his angels against Lucifer. And they were kicked out of heaven, Michael and his angels. And then that great army of the devil and all of his imps, Brother Branham calls him, fell upon the earth, and God knowed that there was going to be a battle. So let me ask you this morning, friends. What chance did you and I ever have to withstand angels that once stood in the presence of God? These very angels that have attacked us since birth, what chance did we have in our human selves to face down these beings that have been in the presence of Almighty God? You haven't been in that. You weren't there. You were in his thinking, but you did not pre-exist. These very same angels, Brother Ram now calls imps. And you are filled with the Holy Ghost this morning. And you are more than a match for them. And yet they once stood in the presence of Almighty God. Nudge your neighbor and say, that's pretty powerful stuff. That's pretty heady stuff. I want to think about that a little bit. Amen. I want to meditate on that a little bit. Amen. And the consequences, what all that means. In raising Jairus' daughter, Brother Branham said, the devil is a great force. The devil has great power. And the devil is great in his power. Friends, if he has power, if he is a great force, and he's great in his power, well, what should the type be? This is the anti-type. What should the Church of the Living God be? But listen to this now. Hold on to your seats. Tighten your seatbelt. But he's under the power of God. In other words, friends, there's no loose cannons. There's no misfires. There's no running off this way and that way. Whatever happens is under God's control, good or bad. He's under the power of God, and the devil can only be one place at a time. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
You know, not only can he only be one place at a time, but he doesn't know what you're thinking. That's a huge revelation. It's a needful revelation. Before you get that revelation, you might be afraid to think. Because you don't want the devil to know your thoughts. Well, where would there be any peace or rest if he could discern the thoughts and intents of the heart? He can't. Now, you can give him clues. You can open your big mouth. Let him know what's going on in your head. Or you can, by your actions, you can show him what's going on in your head. But he really doesn't know. Because he can't read your mind. God himself, excuse me. The devil can only be in one place at a time. His imps can be everywhere, scattered out. Now, they can only be in one place at one time, but they're individual imps, right? His demons, his co-workers. But God himself is alone in this field of omnipresence. Not an angel, but God himself. He encompasses all space and time. And by his omniscience, he's omnipresent. He says, hallelujah. Then that gives us courage. Wherever two or three are gathered, I'll be in their midst. And the church says,
amen.
That's universal everywhere.
Amen.
Friends, I'm pretty sure that I'm just going to go out on a limb this morning. I'm pretty sure that none of us has ever faced the devil directly. There are lesser imps that are assigned to each and every one of us according to our position. In fact, well, it's not to say that we aren't battling with demons at all. That we're not facing demons or maybe multiple demons at any particular time. In fact, we are warring against spirits and powers and principalities from on high. And we are battling against great demonic powers. And we know that there are greater and lesser demons according to the positions that God gave them in the beginning. God gave them in the beginning with different levels of authority. But these, recall, they had positions, they had levels of authority, and everything was okay. Everything was as it should be. There was a hierarchy that was in place. But these individual demonic angels, they can only be in one place at any given point in time. And when these spirits or angels, when they rallied around Satan and they fell from their first estates along with him, they were given assignments and they were told where to go. Some angels were assigned to politics. Some were assigned to be sickness devils in the fourth dimension. Some were assigned to just pester churches. And even nations that they stir up and cause trouble among, there were assignments given to individual ones. And friends, that's why you see each nation ruled by different spirits. These fallen angels or spirits, they're able to travel about in the fourth dimension. And Brother Branham saw them in that dimension. And Satan at one time took Jesus and showed him the kingdoms that were in the past, that were in the present, and all the kingdoms that would be. And he showed it to him in the fourth dimension because it's not controlled by time. And Brother Branham had visions in the fourth dimension, and he would look back at what maybe struck a person that was when they were young. He'd look back into their life, and then he would tell them that demon is now defeated. And then he could see them in a future state, walking whole and walking complete, and he would say, thus saith the Lord, you're healed. Right? And he could say that with a surety because he saw it in that fourth dimension. So Satan has a kingdom that he rules over that is in another dimension, and it is a kingdom of darkness. And the citizens of that kingdom, they don't know all things. fact, they don't know a whole lot. You see, God does not reveal his word to them. He does not dwell with them or in them. And they can only know what they have been allowed to know. They are truly walking in darkness and not in light. Light is truth. They cannot walk by faith because they have no sight. So you might look at it this way. They are like a bat that has to use some other sense in order to get around and not run into things. Because a bat has no physical vision. And the lesser sense that these angels move about by is the sense called reasoning. And in this kingdom of darkness, there are all kinds and all levels of demonic powers. They're not all equal. They don't all have the same task. They don't all serve the same purpose. Some are greater, some are lesser. And this kingdom, it exists in the fourth dimension. And that's the kingdom that we are warring against. We're not warring against this physical kingdom that we can see. And so we know that our battle is not a carnal battle or a fleshly battle, but it's a spiritual battle. Though the battle is being waged in human flesh, we don't defeat our enemy by attacking and defeating flesh. Occasionally, we have to mark those spirits have complete control over. But the flesh itself is not our enemy. If it were, Jesus would have raised up a great big flesh and blood army, and he would have fought a flesh and blood battle at that time, a battle of Armageddon, against a flesh and blood battle of the army of Satan. That's a future battle. But this is a spiritual battle. Romans 8:38. Paul says, "For I am persuaded." Somebody say persuaded.
Persuaded.
That means there's no going back. It means you're convinced. I am persuaded. What are you persuaded about, Paul? Neither death nor life. Everybody fears death. He says, don't worry about death. I'm persuaded. Neither death nor life. Notice this. Nor angels. That's evil spirits. Nor principalities. They have positions. Nor powers. They've been given power and authority. Nor things present. Nor things to come. I'm not worried about what's happening now. I'm not worried about what's coming in the future. I'm persuaded. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, friends, that ought to be on our refrigerator door. That ought to be on our rearview mirror. That ought to be on our windshield. That ought to be something that we keep before us. I'm in such a great battle, and I'm going through this, that, and the other. I am persuaded. I am persuaded. I'm about to die. I am persuaded. Brother Baker, you mean to tell me this morning that angels would actually try to separate us from the love of God? Absolutely. That's characterized your miserable life before the Lord called you. Now, a principality, the definition of a principality is the first in a series. So when these angels fell, they did not lose their principality. All angels were created in the beginning, and they were given a position in the beginning. They were assigned to a certain position. But even though some angels fell and followed after Satan, they're in the minority, by the way. They're not the majority. There's more that didn't fall. Even though some angels fell and followed after Satan, they still maintained their God-given position. And I want you to think about that this morning. Because if they didn't have a position, how could they cause you any trouble? If they were stripped of everything, where's the battle? Come on, friends. An identified masterpiece of God, Brother Branham said, in heaven, we look at celestial bodies. The Bible said that even one star differs from another. There is Sirius and different ones, and Mars and Jupiter. And all those different ones, they differ one from another, according to God's pleasure. The sun differs from the moon from the stars. They have different purposes. And there is angels, such as there is seraphims and cherubims, and angels, great angels, in degrees, and even in the new world to come. And even in the new world to come. Friends, if you don't like authority and hierarchy, you don't even, where are you going to go? Even in the new world to come, the kings of the earth bring their honor to the city. There will be those that live in the city, those that live without the city. Now notice, it doesn't say everybody's going to bring things to the city. It said the kings that are living outside of the city, that are living on the earth, they will bring things to the... So there's even a hierarchy outside of the city. Brother Branham said, we're always going to be that way. Amen. Now he's taking this from what Paul said. Because God is not a Sears and Roebuck harmony house. I mean, even in the ministering gifts that he gives, he'll send the very same gift, but different administrations of the very same gift. God is not a Sears and Roebuck harmony house. He's a God of variety. And he makes one way and one another. But we must serve him in the way that God made us. And there's no greater happiness, joy, peace that you will find than to be what God made you to be. And be glad. And stay behind his word. And that's the way God did it. So it seems, friends, that there are people that are known as the elect of God. And then there are those that are called whosoever will. And we know that there are actually elect angelic beings. And then there are other angelic beings. There are angelic beings who will never fall. They weren't put on trial. They were created in such a way that they wouldn't fall. They will never leave their first estate. And then there are other angels that have the ability to choose. And they were faced with either staying with Michael or choosing to listen to the lies of Satan and leave the message of God. Billions upon billions of human beings have lived on the earth and have been given the same opportunity to make their choice. And in time, we see them on probation to see what choice they will make and what they will do. There has always been a hierarchy in God's creation. And there always will be. There are those that were chosen in him for a certain purpose. There are vessels that were chosen for dishonor. You say, that's not fair. Go talk to the Creator. What choice did Pharaoh have? In fact, when Pharaoh made the choice, okay, you guys can go, then God hardened his heart. Yeah. Said, no, that's not why I made you. I know that that's what you want to do, but no, you got to have a hard heart. Because I've got some more plagues that I'm going to pour out. There's always been a hierarchy in God's creation. There always will be. And there will be different levels of rewards in heaven. Some will be given life at the second resurrection, and they'll make it by the skin of their teeth. Others will enjoy the treasures that were laid up in heaven for them. Some will live outside the city, and that'll be a wonderful thing to be there. Others will ever live with the king in that great eternal city. And there will be a hierarchy within the city. There's 12 apostles. There's the 12 patriarchs. There's Christ. There's his bride. There's attendance. There will be a hierarchy in that city, just as there will be kings on the earth bringing things from the earth to the gates of the city. Amen. Romans 8:38. Once again, for I am persuaded, I'm convinced, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Now, if Paul's rattling these things off, that tells you that there is death, there is life, there are angels, there are principalities, there are powers, there are things present, there are things to come. If there weren't, why mention it? Angels, principalities, powers. We're finally getting to the meat of our subject. I'll have to pull over here in a moment. Angels, principalities, powers. Angels, principalities, powers. Power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. It's written in the book of Acts that Jesus said to his disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Why? Because you will be positionally placed. You'll have a position, you'll have authority, and there's power to go along with it. And power is needed because these fallen angels, they have power. And they have different levels of power due to their first given estate. Satan is still the chief angel right next to Michael in terms of power, in terms of battle. You say, "I don't believe that." Well, we'll get to it here in just a moment. You see, they have power because of the inherent nature that God created them in them as angels. Let me say that again. They have power because of the inherent nature that God created in them as angels. Some of you are going to read ahead with that thought. Some of you are going to see where that's going. God created them in a certain way, gave them a certain nature, and they have power because God created that in them. So when they fell, they brought this power with them into the kingdom of darkness. But what about you and I? Now, we aren't fallen angels, or even angels at all. I know somebody said, "My darling angel." Well, they're not. But we are created beings of God. And so if we are created beings of God, we have a position. Because everything has a position. Everything has a place. But your place is God-given. Your position is God-given. Your authority is God-given. Your power is God-given. Who's going to stop them? This word power being used here, dunamis in the Greek, strength, power, ability. Inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. Power consisting in or resting upon armies, forces, hosts. So Paul tells us that A, there are angels. B, there are principalities. You say, "No, it's the same thing." Well, if it was the same thing, he's repeating himself. There are angels. There are principalities. And that word principality means the person or thing that commences, the first person or thing in a series, the leaders, in other words. And then there are powers, so angels, principalities, powers. Powers, the inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature. And there are things present, and there are things to come. And God's not worried about any of it. He's got it all in his control. Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. So God challenges these principalities and powers by his church. A church that he has created, by the way. A church that he has raised up himself, by the way. A church that he is totally equipped for the job that's before them. He knows what the principalities, powers, and positions are of these fallen angels. He knows what to equip you with. He knows what you will be facing in the day that you are manifested here on the earth. So listen, friends. He's already spoken his word concerning his church. And if you're a part of that body, he's spoken his word concerning you. Might as well go ahead and accept that. Might as well go ahead and say, be it unto me according to thy word. Amen. Friends, God has confidence in his word. Yes. And if he has confidence in what he has said about us, then why can't we also? The devil's not in charge. God is. So we might as well say it like this morning, friends. God has confidence in you because he knows his word concerning you. And nothing's going to stop that word. So we're not exalting ourselves in our own thinking. Our confidence is in his word concerning us. So if he's spoken it this morning, Brother Henry, who can alter the course of God's elect? Can an elect of God miss it? Can an elect of God be lost? Impossible. Now, they're not elect because God looked down through time and said, okay, I'm going to call them elect because they made it. Because I see that they made it. No, that's a guy that doesn't know the future. He chose you in himself before the foundation of the world to be holy, without blame, spotless, without blemish. According to his own purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 6:12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, throughout the dark ages and throughout church history, it looked like a flesh and blood battle. The universal church, so-called, the Catholic Church, you know, if anybody had a different idea, kill them. You want to stop witchcraft? Kill people. Well, why do we still have witchcraft today? I thought you killed them. Because witchcraft isn't a person, it's spirits. Bodies die, but spirits move on. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now notice, he didn't say we don't wrestle. We do wrestle. But what are we wrestling this morning? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in low places. That's not what he said. He said in high places. So the English word powers in this case, it's a different Greek word from the one that we read in Romans 8:38, which was dunamis. This word power comes from the Greek word excusia, not excuse you, but excusia. Excusia. Bless you. No, it's not that either. Excusia. I do that on purpose because you'll probably maybe remember that word because we tied it to the cat causing you to sneeze. Excusia. The power of authority or influence and of right. The power of authority and influence and of right. So it has to do with authority. It also has to do with jurisdiction. Let me go a little further with that. The power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. The power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. God didn't eliminate that power. It still exists. So when demons come against us, friends, they know where their jurisdiction is. I hope you're listening this morning. They know what authority has been given to them. And they want you to believe that they have power over you. But they don't. They once did, but they no longer do. And the only way that they can hinder you is to try to keep you in darkness, to try to prevent you from recognizing your position and your authority versus their position and their authority. So in our opening text this morning, we're going back to it here for just a moment. When Daniel prayed, he was waiting on God. And he was wondering as he's waiting on God. Now, friends, he prayed and he didn't get up and go do something else. He waited. And he waited. And something must be wrong. I told God, I believe you. I've repented. I've been baptized. I told him I believe him. Why haven't I got the Holy Ghost? Wait. Invite him to come in. Thank him for it. And then wait. Oh, he'll do it, friends. When will he do it? None of your business. Wait. When Daniel prayed, he was waiting on God, and he was wondering perhaps if he'd done all that he needed to do, if he'd left anything undone, and perhaps thoughts were going through his mind whether or not he would get an answer to his prayer. But he waited. And in another dimension, the moment that he started praying, a war was waging as a result of that prayer. It started a war. Why do you think Brother Brown said prayer is the most powerful weapon of the church? If the church only knew the power of prayer, it starts a war. It gives marching orders. It sets things in array. There's a victory on the other side of that prayer. So in another dimension, a war is waging as a result of that prayer. I hope you can see the power of prayer this morning, friends. It starts a war. Now, Daniel's eyes couldn't see the battle that was waging as a result of his prayer. This prince of Persia, as Daniel tells us, in heavenly places, had more power than Gabriel did. Because Gabriel, when he was sent to meet Daniel's, to answer Daniel's prayer, Gabriel couldn't break through. We just read it to you. This demon stood before Gabriel and declared to him, "This is my principality. This is my power. I'm a fallen angel, but I know my position. I know my authority." I hope somebody's listening this morning. When these demons anoint men in our day, you see why these demons don't back down. They know what they were created to do. They know that. But what do we know? If we could get a hold of this principle this morning, friends, there wouldn't be a sick person amongst us. If we could get a hold of this principle and recognize our position and recognize our authority, we wouldn't back down either. Now, I never said one time that there won't be a battle. I never said that. I never said that if we just recognize our this principle and recognize our position and recognize our authority that it would be easy street. No. You'll face the same trials. You'll face the same battles. You'll face the same demons. But it's victory after victory after victory after victory after victory. You weren't here to be defeated. The word overcome means you're not defeated. These are powerful laws, and they are laws. If you can strip away all your reasoning and emotions and focus on the fact that these are laws and operate according to them, friends. This fallen angel stood at the gate of the city and declared to this mighty angel Gabriel, "You're not getting through, buddy. I don't care what your mission is. I don't care who Daniel is. I don't care. You just got a call on the hotline and you knew your position was to go and meet that need. You knew that you were tasked to, with the power, the authority. So you're moving on behalf of this Son of God, who's not redeemed. He's covered in the blood of bulls and goats, but his prayer went before God." Gabriel could have said, you're a fallen angel. And I have been sent directly from the presence of God. And I have been given a commission. All true. But then the fallen angel might have said, I don't care where he came from. I don't care what your orders are. I have been given a domain. I have been given a dominion. I am the prince over this country. I'm the prince of Persia. Satan was the prince of the power of the air. I am the prince over this country. I know my rights. People can come to our borders. Well, it's not our borders. Let's choose a country that actually respects our borders. People could, let's pick Israel. That'd be a good one, right? People can come to the border of Israel and say, let me through. What's your business? Oh, I'm here to destroy you. Well, you ain't getting through. On whose authority? Mine. Well, who gave you that authority? The government of Israel. Right? I know my position. I know my place. I don't have to bring a tank or a bazooka or a hellfire missile. I know my position. I know my place. And I have the authority to say, you're not coming in. And guess what? They don't come in. Simple, right? So this angel, fallen as it was, had a nature. It had a dominion. It had an authority. It was the prince of Persia. And the church says, so can we see this morning why devils won't move based on what we may or may not have done? Good or evil? That's not what moves them. They won't move just because you read your Bible, or just because you listen to the message, or just because you claim, I believe God sent a prophet. That doesn't move them. Well, what does move them? Listen close. We're teaching and preaching this morning. We'll get into some preaching here in just a moment. But we want to teach this first. Here's the key. Who wants a key this morning? Amen. They will move when you know your position. When you know your nature, what God who you are, what God created you to be. When you know your position, when you know your authority, and when you declare that to your enemy, yes, that demon has to back off. Amen. And will back off. Amen. Well, friends, I hope that sinks down to the, as Brother Branham said, the gable ends of your soul, the very depths of your soul. I hope that we can see before long the absolute importance of recognizing who you are. Amen. And that's why it was emphasized to us, when the bride knows who she is. When you know who you are, when you recognize your God-given estate or your God-given position, when you recognize the authority that you have this morning, when you know your inheritance, something's going to take place. When you recognize these things, and then when you face a demon of sickness, that demon has to back away from your command. Can I say that again? That demon has to back away from your command. You said, but Brother Baker, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, sometimes these are bigger, more troublesome demons. And so that's why God assigns a gatekeeper in every church, an elder in every church, and says, anoint him with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. That's why God places gifts in the body. And that's why he says, oh, okay, that's a pretty tough demon that you're facing. Bring another brother or sister. Join their authority with you. Their power, their position. Something's going to move. That's why sometimes the ones that we face, Jesus said, well, you can cast them out. But it's going to take prayer and fasting. It's going to take a little more sincerity, dedication, or whatever. Maybe the whole church has got to join in. But it will happen. Because we have been given the power, the authority, the position. But we have to know that. I'm going to touch on something here for just a moment. And please take it. It's difficult sometimes to talk about certain things, but... Know my heart this morning. This is all for good. Wednesday night, there was a great battle that was being fought. And Wednesday night, some of you came up, no altar call called. Some of you came up, and one by one, friends, we don't tell you what's been prayed for. We turn off the mic, and maybe people over here might pick up something. There were great needs that were being brought forth. Great needs. And as nobody has the position that I have in this church, and I didn't give myself that position. God gave it to me, right? So there can't be two heads or three heads or four heads. Maybe a four head, but not a five head. And I was rejoicing because those of you that came over here know this. There were great battles that were being fought, things that we've been praying about for a while. And there was deliverance taking place. And it wasn't general, it was specific. And our visiting ministers saw that and got enthused. God bless them. He got enthused and then went over the headship of your pastor and formed another prayer line. Only the pastor can do that. But formed another prayer line. Now, I believe his motive was good, his intention was perhaps good. And I don't minimize anything that might have taken place, but there were greater things that were supposed to take place that didn't. And I was grieved. Now, it's a learning thing, and we're going to keep these things before us, and we're going to see these other needs met. But you just stand your ground, Sister Armenta. That diabetes sugar devil, it's a devil. I'm not looking at you, I'm looking at it. Yeah. You're done. She felt something. Something was taking place. We may not, Sister Anna, something took place. We've been praying about it, you've been praying about it. We could have tried to work something out, talk. We waited on the Lord. You waited on the Lord. Right time, right place. Something took place. And in the midst of one of the greatest battles we were fighting, that's when the minister separated himself, got enthused, and said, let's form another prayer line, and called other ministers up. Wonderful thing. And many of you probably thought, well, let's see how... You could feel the anointing that was in the building, but it started over there. Why would God do something different now? Well, let's form another prayer line and leave the pastor out. This is working, so let's go do something different. We can miss God's leadership sometimes. And that's why there has to be somebody that can discern these things and say, no, this is the order. This is how we're going to do it. It's not to say that these other ways would be bad, but this is the mind of the Lord. I'm not saying that this is the case in this case, friends, but I've witnessed across the country that we've got a new generation of men raised up where it's important who's praying for you. And it's important that everybody recognize, you know, when testimonies are given, I did this and I did that in my meetings, this, that, and the other. We are careful in sharing testimonies of what takes place here. And when we do share it, we say, this person was prayed for. We don't say we did it. This person was prayed for. This person believed. God did this. God did that. God did this. Right? If we can get ourselves out of the picture and recognize we have a position, we have an authority. Brother Eli, please don't. There are blessings in anything. And I believe God blessed, right? What I'm trying to tell you is that there's some things now that we're still waiting on. But just as sure as I am this morning that those things took place, I expect these others to take place. And I won't be calling you up because I didn't call them up. They came. The prayers weren't general, right? They weren't feel good. Nothing wrong with a feel good prayer. They were very specific. And that's how we have to operate, especially in this hour. Because Brother Augie, he testified. He was up here. God dealt with him. He testified. He posted on Facebook. For those of you who are on Facebook, he posted on there. Man, just exactly what was prayed for, it happened. Right? Why do you say that? Because it happened. I'm trying to show you that there's an order to things. And if we will work according to that order, if we'll recognize our position and our place, if we'll recognize our authority, our power, amen? And if we'll operate according to God's provided way, sin won't come into this door one day. How close are we? Pretty close, I think. Because we're already seeing. Friends, how many tumors have been cast out in this body? Come on, lots. How many have been prayed for? Well, the doctor said this. And then you went back and the doctor said that. It's almost common. Right? What more proof do we need this morning of the authority and power and position that we have? You know, even the ministries that are chosen to come through here, it's not random. When one type of ministry is chosen over another, it's not saying, well, that ministry is bad, that's why we're not having it. It may or may not be, but that isn't the point. Right. It's what's needed for this particular time. Amen. And you can see the Lord in it. Amen. And you give Him the glory. Amen. It's not to vindicate anybody. It's for the Lord to have His way in the body. Now, I hope you take that in the spirit that it was intended in. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say anything. Right. So you need to recognize this morning the absolute importance of recognizing who you are, recognizing your God-given estate or position, recognizing your authority, in knowing your inheritance. Friends, if fallen angels know, how much more a son or daughter of God? When you recognize these things, and then you face a demon of sickness, that demon has to move at your command. Not maybe, not if you feel like it, not if you've been a good boy, not if it's scared by you. And excuse me, we never have to raise our voice to a demon. So if you're impressed with shouting, get over it. That's just your emotions being worked up. We don't have to be hormone-filled and manly. I don't believe Jesus screamed at devils. I believe that when he spoke to the water, he said, "Peace, be still." I don't think he went, "Hallelujah, glory to God. Praise the Lord, glory to God. Peace, be still." And everybody went, "Whoa." Which would be greater? A man looking out with humility and just, friends, a prophet in our day just looked at somebody with crossed eyes. And the eyes went, boop. He knew his position. He knew his authority. And something in his heart, because of the experiences that he'd had, and it was so close, his own dying daughter, her eyes went crossed. Something went down on the inside of him. And he said, that devil, anytime I see it, you know what? I got an issue with you. You did that to my daughter. No more. He obviously had the power, the authority, the position, and recognized it. But what about the rest of us? So it simply boils down this morning to a matter of nature, position, and authority. Part of how we receive the Holy Ghost is accepting that when God said, "You are my son," that the devil can't shake that from us. The devil will say, "But you did this, and what about that? And, you know, you've got this weakness or whatever." But you're saying, "But I'm his son. I'm not going to become his son. I always have been his son. And he gave me a promise. And he said that to me." Devil. I didn't say Satan, I said devil, because you're not actually dealing with Satan himself. Devil, I'm done talking with you. Talk to the hand. Talk to the word. Because the face don't even want to look at you no more. Talk to the word. Your battle's not with me. Your battle's with the word. It is written. It is written. Oh, but you, it is written. But you, it is written. Well, I think it is written. Come on, friends. Something's happening this morning, right now, as we speak. The things that we've been praying about, something's happening right now. Right now. So no wonder Paul said, or excuse me, Peter said, make our calling and election sure. No wonder Paul said, our spirits bear witness with his spirit that we are the sons of God. No wonder the battle this morning is to keep you from church. To keep you from hearing who you are. And to hearing what belongs to you. Right. I've decided that we're no longer going to stream the service. You say, what about those that are sick or whatever? They can wait an hour or two and listen to it. But this will not be on my conscience. All these excuses. That's what they are. Yeah. I don't want to hear that. What do you want to hear?
Right.
Okay, we'll make an exception for you. You just have it your way. We need to be together. The devil wants to isolate you. The people that are the most discouraged are the people that miss church. Then they say, oh, I'm so discouraged and I'm depressed. Well, duh. It ain't encouraging out there. And you know, if you're going to stay away from church, don't post pictures the day before of all the events that you went to. And now you can't sit in church today because... I mean, at least be intelligent about it. Oh, that makes me mad. I hope it does. I hope I cause some reaction. Cause you to stop long enough to realize Satan's trying to rob you. Trying to keep you from your position, your authority. We are overcomers. We are more than overcomers. We are more than able. And when we come together, we want to hear about your problem. So we can settle it. We want to hear about your problem so we can pray through over it. If one will chase 1,000, two will chase. It's exponential. It's not linear. It's exponential. When we have a family and we begin raising our children, we're not dealing so much with issues with our children many times as we are dealing with spirits that are trying to influence our children. And it will take spiritual dads and moms to discern what it is that our children are dealing with in order to know how to guide them. And it'll take spiritual men in the church to know how to lead the people through the things that we face today. And people will come to church and they'll just be as sweet as anybody that you've ever met. But if they fail to get the new birth, friends, they will be influenced by these demon powers. And they will do in the church what these demons did in heaven when they caused the first church split. And it will take spiritual sons and daughters of God to discern these spirits and to withstand them. And the enemy would love to get us bogged down in a flesh and blood battle. To get us fighting one another. But that's not where the real battle is taking place. And that's not where real battles are won or lost. That's where social battles are won or lost, or political battles. If a person has an alcohol spirit that's ruling over them, you can beat their flesh all that you want. But that won't cast out the devil. Right? You can call that person all sorts of names. You can shame them even. Or lock them up. But you're still not dealing yet with that spirit that rules over them. Sometimes people in these conditions, they might need to be locked up to protect them and to protect others. But lock up never once cast out a devil. So our battle is with angels, with principalities, with powers, with rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And the only way that we are going to overcome these angels, friends, is by recognizing our election, recognizing our position, recognizing our authority, and that also of our true enemy. Well, how will I recognize it? The Word will show you. You know, the same is true for a natural job, right? In a natural job, let's say you get promoted. Let's say they make you a vice president. Now all of a sudden you have new position, new authority. Well, if you don't know what your authority is, you're not going to operate it. But with that position comes authority. And when you recognize what your position is and your authority, you operate it. And people respond. They may not like you. They may not respect you, but they recognize your position and your authority. And they realize that they have less, a lower position and less authority. And they weigh it out and say, okay, if I want to keep my job, I've got to do what this guy told me to do. Right? How about in the kingdom of heaven? Flesh and blood is not our enemy. Of course, the battle takes place and manifests itself through flesh. But we're not battling against and conquering flesh. Right? God did something for you. We're battling against spirits that anoint and direct flesh that is yielded to those spirits. That's why we don't want to dilly-dally around by getting born again of the Spirit. The fallen angels, they know their positions, they know their powers, and they're God-given. Principalities in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it has to do with rulers or chieftains. Let's read that. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. A ruler, a prince of this age. Imagine, if you will, for a moment, that you were to travel back into time and you ended up in Luther's day. Brother Augie, I'd be on vacation if I was in Luther's day. Other than having to smell the body odor. I'd be on vacation. Why? Different spirits. Different principalities. Different powers. The rulers that you would be facing, they would be so outmatched. You'd fall to the ground, literally, laughing at their challenges. The Pope would say, I excommunicate you. You'd look at him, you in what army? What am I excommunicated from? Your church? Well, I'm not part of your church. Well, we're the universal church. No, you're not. I am. You know, I used to daydream about going back in time to face, like the mighty Roman army. But I wasn't imagining myself going back using kung fu or using a sword or a mace and wearing chain mail. Nah, that's not what I dreamed. I went back with an F-16. I went back with an M1A1 Abrams tank. Oh, catapult? Take this. How ridiculous the Romans would look to me if I showed up in an F-16. The same thing happened to the Polish army in World War II. They had the finest horse cavalry in the world, bar none. But their officers, they were well trained. And they were fearless. They weren't cowards and they weren't dummies. But the powers of the German army were so much further advanced. It was like taking a knife to a gunfight. I don't care how brave you are and how gifted you are with that knife. Gun's going to win. So imagine a follower. Let's flip it around the other way as we're coming to a conclusion here. Let's turn it around the other way for just a moment. Imagine a follower of Luther coming into our day. That's why they're going to say to you, Brother Oscar, that's why they're going to say to you, my, how did you overcome in your day? We didn't face what you're facing. Well, we have progressed since Luther's day just as our enemy has progressed in what he is allowed to do. We have the full word in our day that Luther didn't have. But Luther wasn't facing, Luther didn't need the full word to overcome in his day. Do you understand? The powers that he was facing, God knows what he's doing. He will not put more on you than you can bear. So here we are, young men, and we're living in the most wicked of ages. A lid has literally been pulled off the bottomless pit. And demons are spilling out in every direction. Men are literally losing their minds. When I was a child living in the Midwest growing up, we didn't face what our children are facing today. And in less than 50 years or so, since I was a child, look at how things have changed. But at the same time, look at what has been raised up on our account. Do you think they had the same understanding of the word in 1965 as you do this morning? No. But they weren't facing the demons that you're facing either. So I tell you, friends, it doesn't matter what the enemy raises up against us in this hour, as wicked and as perverted as it may be. Listen, friends, I'll admit, these were thoughts that I had at one time. These were discussions that I actually had with my wife at one time before the message came across my path. We looked at one another and we said, do we want to bring kids into this world? Because even then it was a whole lot more wicked than when my parents grew up. Do we want to bring kids into this world? Look at how things are falling and how things are progressing, right? Yeah, but look at what's been raised up on our behalf. Oh, I feel so sorry for young people of this age. Why? God doesn't feel sorry for them. He's equipped them. He's equipped you as parents. Oh, but they face so much greater. Yeah, and the weapons that they're holding is so much greater. And they're going to run their race. And they're going to finish their course. And the devil's going to get another black eye. I'm telling you this morning, brothers, we are more than able to overcome every demon. If you got a demon this morning, don't look at me if it'll make you nervous. But if you got a demon this morning and you don't want that demon, look at me because I ain't nervous. I know who I am. Who do you think you are? A son of God. What power do you have? The power that was given to me. The works that I do, shall you do also? Not if I say, if thou say, and you believe in your heart. If two or more agree concerning anything, you shall have it. We've been given that. We are more than able. We are not every sickness, friends, every disease. We've been pounding demons of depression. Guess what? They're leaving. The devil tried to turn it into a flesh and blood battle. The devil tried to tell the people, well, you're just being picked on. But the people, no, that was a demon. I've been set free. I was looking at the wrong thing. I was giving comfort to the enemy. While he wasn't giving me any comfort. I still feel a little nervous. That's okay. We'll just keep saying it. It has to give way. Resist the devil and... Didn't say what devil, just a devil. We are more than able to overcome every disease, every demon, every temptation, every principality, every high thought that exalts itself above the word of God, every sickness, Every disease, every religious spirit, every political power, and even death itself. We aren't just able, friends, we are more than able. For we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. And so if he has placed us here in this day, and that's what we're facing, I say to you this morning, rise to your feet. We are more than able. We are more than conquerors. We are the finishers of the race. We are the last and chosen generation. And we're going to walk through heaven's doors. And we're going to walk through victoriously. And we're going to have a testimony when we meet those on the other side. And we will say, I was undefeated because Christ strengthened me. I have been given the victory. The battle has been won. And I proclaimed and I held the standard high that was given to me. I ran my race. I stood my part. And I'm here to tell you the kingdom of hell bowed before my God in my day. It came before me and I said, I don't care what you do. He's more than able. Well, I'm going to take your health. I'm going to take your family. I'm going to take this or that. Well, maybe you will, but my God is more than able. Though the skin worms eat my skin, yet in my flesh. You didn't eliminate that. I'm going to see God in my flesh. You tried to eliminate my flesh in my flesh. That's the end of the story, devil. Take your best shot. Oh, you're tempting the devil. No, friends. It must be proven in your life. It must be proven. It will be proven. We're not crawling out of here. We are overcomers. And we will do it with the right spirit. We will not fight our brothers. We will not fight our sisters. We will not make it a flesh and blood battle. We will recognize we're battling demons. And we will stand in our God-given positions and authority. We're facing greater demons. Even the devil himself is the wise old serpent. He's not the serpent any longer. He's the wise old serpent. He's actually learned a thing about a two about a thing or two. God hasn't learned anything. Satan has learned a few things. He's watched your DNA. He's followed your family tree. But he's missing out on that other tree. He's missing out on the fact that your DNA came from another tree. And it has not been revealed in you. It to him. What God has. What awaits you. What he's promised you. He doesn't know the power that has been given to you this morning. But let him come against you. Oh, woe is me. This is coming. Friends, he's about to get electrocuted. He's about to get 144,000 volts. He's about to get his wings singed. If he ends up victorious, this whole thing is lost. And we're a bunch of losers. But my God said, and I believe him. I'm going to take him at his word this morning. Anybody else? Anybody else? God, I'm going to take you at your word. Let's bow our heads this morning. God, I want to know what my position is. God, I want to know what my place is. God, I want to know what my calling is. I want to know what my inheritance is. The devil tells me it's this. The devil tells me it's that. But your word has a different story. And Lord, I love your word because it has a happy ending. My fallen, my first estate had a sad ending to it. But Lord, we who were once dead in sins and trespasses, you have quickened. And you know the thoughts that you think towards us. They're thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give us an expected end. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder if there's anyone, whether you're in the building or listening in or will listen in, I wonder if there's anyone who want to raise their hand this morning and say, God, show me my expected end so that I can walk in it. Show me who I really am. Show me that heavenly vision that's been declared here on the earth. I can see others perhaps in it, but I want to see myself in it. Show me, Lord, that I have been given the victory. Show me, Lord, that I am an overcomer. Show me that I am a son of God. I am a daughter of God. Show me, Lord, that your word has provided all that I have need of. Show me, Lord, that you've directed me where to be spiritually. You've directed me where to be physically. And that's where I will prosper. Show me, Lord, that you've left nothing undone. Show me, Lord, that I can have confidence in who you say that I am and what you have made me. It's not a matter of me trying to become anything. That's the most miserable thing we'll ever do, is to try to become something. That would make us an actor. But to just surrender and to become who you say that we are. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Be it unto me according to thy word. If that's your prayer this morning, just make it known to him with an uplifted hand. Say, God, I'm gaining ground this morning. I have purpose within myself this morning, Lord. I want to be convinced. I don't want to leave anything to doubt. I don't want the enemy to, because doubt is what the devil can work through. I don't want to be haunted. I want amen and amen. Whether I can see it in the natural or not doesn't matter. I want your word on the matter. And that's enough for me. If you give me your word, heaven and hell will pass away, but your word will not, not one jot or tittle. Your word cannot fail. And that's where my confidence is this morning, is in your unfailing words of promise. Father, move in the building this morning, I pray. Father, may the faith that's in the building, may it just rise to a new level, Lord. Lord, we'll just stand and take your word simply and recognize, Lord, you've equipped us for this hour. You've given us what we have need of. That's why we come to feed upon your unfailing words of promise, because it is that that's defeating our enemy. It is that our enemy is being overcome by. It is that is promised to us that cannot be defeated. We can't put our confidence in anything else. If we put our confidence in money, it'll fail. Man, it'll fail. Politics, it'll fail. Whatever it is, everything is falling. But our confidence is in you and in your unfailing words of promise. Open our eyes this morning, Lord. May we make that calling and election sure. Lord, may we be able to discern those fourth dimension spirits that work amongst us. I'm not talking about discerning fourth dimension spirits that are working on the other side of the globe, though they are, but I'm not facing what's going on in Ukraine right now. We can pray with our brothers and sisters, but I'm not facing what they're facing. We can agree with them, pray with them, join them in prayer, support them in their battles, but I'm facing a clear and present enemy. I'm facing a real principality, a real power in high places, spiritual wickedness in high places. I'm facing these demons every day. But Lord, I want to stand with my shoulders back. I want to stand with my sword out. I want to declare with confidence, Lord, that I'm more than able. Through Christ that strengthens me. I won't come to you a coward, Lord. I will stand. And when I say I won't come as a coward, it's not because I have confidence in myself. I am a coward when it comes to myself. But my confidence is in you. There's no worry, there's no fear, there's no doubt. You've proven it to me, Lord, time and time again, and you will yet again. Father, we know that there are fourth dimensional demons that try to tempt us, try to bring confusion amongst us. Many that are sitting here this morning have been caught up in that confusion, and you've set them free from that confusion. And you just so gently and so simply, just a few words, resting now, and they're comforted, and they're not afraid,
them to let go of the past hurts, to leave behind the we've all been hurt. We've all been damaged goods at one time or another, but you're a healer. We're here this morning to testify that you've healed us spiritually, physically, emotionally. And Lord, we will not be controlled by what took place in our past. We will not allow our present to be ruled over by past experiences. We trust you this morning. We have faith in you. Our confidence is in you. We recognize who we are, Lord. We recognize who our enemy is. And we take our God-given position, which we recognize, and our authority, which we recognize, as we fight as this great and final, as this battle comes to a climax spiritually. We know that it'll come to a climax physically at the Battle of Armageddon, but it's spiritually coming to a conclusion where even death itself has to back up to sons and daughters of God that are in pest houses this morning. But the power of this blood is going to be demonstrated. The power of this blood is going to show that we are redeemed. When a voice is spoken through these pest houses that looks death right in the eye and says, not this time. I'm headed toward a change. You'll not escort me over. That's not my destination. I'm going to my theophany. My theophany is coming to me. And God is going to change, rearrange my elements so that I'll have a body like his. I'll not be ashamed. I'll be known as I am known when I meet him in the air. That's the end of the story this morning, devils. That's how this story comes to a conclusion. We recognize that you're going to do what you're ordained to do. But I'm putting you on notice this morning. I'm going to do what I'm ordained to do also. Come what may. God bless each and every one. May that be our prayer this morning, Lord. May each and every one, from the depths of our soul, may we purpose in our heart, Lord, if it's just me. If there's no one else, if it's just me, I won't bow my knee to this evil age. I won't bow my knee to false doctrine. I won't bow my knee to the lies of the devil. I won't bow my knee to sickness and disease and worry and depression. I certainly will be tempted by these things, but I will not bow. There's no surrender this morning, Lord. Victory has been given to us. If that's your testimony, just make it known this morning, friends. Just declare it in this dimension. Oh, but I'm worried about what the devil can't do a thing. God has equipped you this morning. You are the one that's being proven. The enemy, his day will come. His end will come. There'll be no further use for him. He'll serve his purpose, and you will be brought to perfection. You are the purpose this morning. You are the redeemed. You are the purchased of his blood. Trophies in his crown. Bless each and every one. Father, may we just be inspired today. May we hold on. May the victory cry go forth from the ranks. Help us to see, Lord, further into that vision where we're at. Maybe we aren't as far as we think we ought to be, or as far as even maybe we want to be. That's not what's important this morning, friend. What's important is we recognize who we are and that we endeavor within ourselves. I won't stop. I won't go back. I won't turn this way. I won't turn that way. My trust is in the Lord. Bless each and every one, Lord. In your precious name we pray and have confidence in your word and your word alone. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. that this morning. Amen. We've got the power. These things that come against us are not in charge. We have the power. Those sage and rage.